time to find out what that mystery sound we've been playing is. This week's secret sound is a bit tricky. It's the sound of waves, but not the waves you'd find at the beach. Would it help if I told you they'd only been detected 3 times, the latest find being made public just days ago? Still no idea? Well, they're gravitational waves, and one scientist this week from the Max Planck Institute for Gravitational Physics was awarded the prestigious Körber Prize for European Science for his and his team's discovery of the previously elusive ripples. The award came just one day before the announcement that gravitational waves had been detected for the 3rd time. This is a story 1.4 billion years in the making, when a collision took place creating a massive spinning black hole 21 times the mass of the Sun. It's long been predicted that gravitational waves exist, but little was known about them until now. With me to talk about the dark side of the cosmos and his team's amazing discovery is Professor Carsten Dunstmann. Professor Dunstmann, welcome to the program. When it comes to gravitational waves, was Einstein right?
Well, of course he was right. We didn't really have a doubt about that. But still, it was a big challenge to directly listen to the universe and not just indirectly or just look at the universe with our eyes. I mean, for thousands of years, we've only looked at the universe, but a sense was missing. And now, finally, with detecting gravitational waves, we're able to also hear the universe. And a whole new sense opens the dark side of the universe that we've never had any glimpse of before.
You talk there about the dark side of the universe. In layman's terms, what are gravitational waves?
Gravitational waves are distortions of space and time that Albert Einstein has predicted over 100 years ago as a consequence of his general relativity. And even though within a year after publishing General Relativity, he predicted the existence of gravitational waves, he himself has changed his mind at least 5 times during his life whether they would exist in reality. And so it has taken 99 years without a direct detection, even though we didn't really have a doubt that they existed. Finally, we are over that stage, and now we can use them to listen to the universe.
Let's talk about that moment 99 years after Einstein made his prediction. Back in September of 2015, when you and your team heard gravitational waves for the first time, what was that like? Describe that experience.
Well, most people say, whoa, that must have been a big adventure, like saying, Eureka, I found it. But that's not so. When you've been after something for more than a quarter century, then the realization that something extraordinary has happened creeps in very, very slowly. So at first you don't believe it. And that was the feeling of most people, everybody in the team. So you just can't believe it that it has finally happened. And then day by day, week by week, the realization creeps in slowly, point per point. So if you really want to celebrate or have that moment, you have to create it artificially, like setting a date for a press conference or something. And there's no specific moment where you suddenly say, yeah, this is it.
Now, there's been a lot of research done on gravitational waves here on Earth. Are there plans to start researching them in space?
Oh, yeah, certainly. Just like light comes to us in all kinds of colors, so do gravitational waves come to us in all kinds of frequencies. In the high frequency range, frequencies in the audio band from a few hertz to a few hertz, frequencies that our ears could hear, you listen to the universe listening to the light stuff, things that has a low mass like stars or intermediate black holes. But all the heavy things, they move very slowly. Supermassive black holes, for example, is millions to billions of solar masses. They move very slowly, and that is hidden on Earth because everything here moves. Leaves fall from the trees, for example, and that shakes gravitationally the proof masses of a gravitational wave detector, and that cannot be shielded. So for that, you have to go into space. And we've been working for many, many years on a space mission that will detect the low-frequency gravitational waves. And why do you have to also go into space? Because for the low frequencies, you need big ears, like you need big instruments to make the low tones. So a contrabass is big and a violin is small. And the same is true for gravitational wave detectors and sources. And that's why we go into space and build a big ear that's millions of kilometers large. And the technology precursor is flying right now. It's marvelously successful. And the full mission will maybe fly in 15 years.
In the scheme of things, not that long away.
Yeah, that's right. Even though most people would say, well, more than 15 years, what are you going to do all that time? Well, we have our hands full. Don't you worry about that.
Well, that leads me to my next question, research. Germany, it is often said, is really contributing to the field of international research on gravitational waves. As a discoverer's of those waves, what role does Germany play at the moment when it comes to international research?
Germany has been a pioneer in experimental gravitational wave research from day one. Even half a century ago, when there were like one, two, or three people in the world trying to experimentally detect gravitational waves, German researchers were among the pioneers in there. They've always been at the forefront of the field. Even at the time when the proposals for the big detectors were brought forward at the beginning of the 1990s. And in fact, we had teamed up with a British team to propose a detector in Europe, the same time when the LIGO proposal was brought forward, and just slightly afterwards came the Virgo proposal. So it just happened that historically something more important happened in Germany than building big gravitational wave detectors, and that was German reunification. And that meant that at that time there was no money available for new projects in fundamental science. Whereas on the US, the LIGO project made big progress, and that's why the big detectors are now in the US that have made the detections. But what we could continue to do in Germany is technology. And technology that goes into the big detectors is something you can do, and you don't need hundreds of millions. You only need a few million. Now, for most people, it's still a lot of money. But in science, a few million is small money. And so we continued to do what we knew how to do, and that is develop the technology. And it makes us very happy that many of our technologies are at the heart of advanced LIGO now and have really helped to make this instrument into what it is.
You touched there upon the collaboration between the Max Planck Institute, where you are, the UK and the US. Following Britain's decision to leave the European Union and the new government in the US, will this play a role in future collaborations?
I hope not. At least right now, I don't really see any downside. Maybe when the time comes that the dust settles and people are not so excited anymore about gravitational waves, then we'll have to watch out. But at least right now, everybody knows this. So after the discovery was published, even my taxi driver talked to me and said, hey, are you working on gravitational waves? So I hope the time will not come. The best thing we can do is make so many new discoveries that we never disappear out of public attention.
If you could ask Albert Einstein one thing, what would it be?
You know you were wrong about gravitational waves. Are you happy that you were wrong?
And just lastly, the DW Science Department is tipping you'll be this year's Nobel winner.
There are much wiser people who have to decide about this. I don't really want to speculate that. I don't think so.
Professor Carsten Dunstman of the Max Planck Institute for Gravitational Physics, best of luck, well done on your win, and let's hope for a Nobel Prize this year. Thank you for joining me today on Spectrum.
Thank you, it was my pleasure.